frustrate the students and yourself trying to figure out what went wrong. The purpose of designing a lesson is not simply to ensure that students are taught, but to ensure that they learn. With a scoring guide, teachers and students have a tool that can easily assess learning. Just think what would happen to student learning if students knew in advance what they would be learning, how they would be tested, and how they would be scored before the lesson even began. Just think how productive students could be if they knew they could not fail. Just think what would happen to student learning if the teacher knew this too. The teacher is prepared to teach. From a student's perspective, it is very important to feel that the teacher is prepared to teach. It creates a sense of comfort, security, and confidence to see that the teacher knows what he or she is teaching. With objectives posted, tests written, and scoring guides created before the lesson begins, the teacher's energy is focused on delivering the content and helping all students achieve the goals of the lesson. The effective teacher, 1, constructs scoring guides aligned to lesson objectives, 2, uses scoring guides for formative assessments, 3, teaches students how to use scoring guides for personal assessment, 4, helps students make continued progress toward lesson mastery. 24. How to enhance student learning. The key idea. Teachers are more effective when they work together in teams. The tools of an effective learning environment. Teachers that work together to achieve specific measurable goals increase the likelihood of improved student learning. 3 teacher characteristics can be found in schools where continuous improvement occurs. These traits serve as the foundation for schools that produce results. 1. Working as a productive team. 2. Setting clear and measurable goals. 3. Collecting and analyzing ongoing performance data. The Consortium on Chicago School Research found that in schools where teachers worked as teams, students were taught math above their grade levels. In schools where teachers worked alone, instruction lagged behind. In these schools, 8th grade math teachers typically taught 5th grade math. A rapidly growing number of schools have made a momentous discovery. When teachers regularly and collaboratively review assessment data for the purpose of improving practices to reach measurable achievement goals, something magical happens. Student achievement. How does this come about? Through people working collaboratively as a team in a shared culture. Mike Schmoker. Effective schools have learning teams. Most successful companies operate with teams of employees. Notice the bill at a restaurant. You were served by a team. Notice the closed doors at stores, team members only. A company that wants your business declares, "Our team will take your design and bring it to fruition from beginning to end." The great athletes give credit to the team after a victory. Effective schools that can demonstrate student learning do it with teacher learning teams. These are typically grade level or subject matter teams. Teacher learning teams gather to analyze the progress of students toward curriculum goals. The core work of a learning team is to analyze student work with the purpose of improving student learning. One way to analyze student work is to have team members bring in student work from a common assignment. The work is divided into 3 general piles: excellent, average, and poor. One sample is arbitrarily pulled from each pile. The team assesses each of the samples with simple recurring questions. How can we improve or change our instruction to help the student who is doing poor work to at least do average work? How can we help the student who is doing average work to do excellent work? What tools for learning can we prescribe to inspire each student to move up the achievement ladder? Schools where students learn never give up. Schools are for student learning. In Arizona, where 25% of the population is Latino, many schools have low achievement and low graduation rates. Yet there are schools performing well enough to beat the national test score odds. The Center for the Future of Arizona published a study, Beat the Odds, Why Some Schools with Latino Children Beat the Odds and Others Don't. That title says it all. The report cited several schools, including some along the Arizona-Mexico border, that were doing quite well. The continued success of schools that were considered high-achieving and the newfound success of schools that were labeled underperforming had little to do with funding, class size, reading programs, parent involvement, or tutoring. In fact, these were found in high and underachieving schools. The schools that beat the odds had these characteristics. 1. They assessed and reassessed student work. 2. They used the results to teach and reteach. 3. They did not stop until they found a way for every student to grasp each lesson. One such recognized school that did this was L.C. Kennedy School in the Creighton School District of Phoenix. The first grade teaching team members, Patricia Hicks, Karen Schnee, Julie Cunetada, and Jenny Lopez, call themselves experts in the trenches. Their attitude reflects their dogged determination not to let anything stand in the way of their students' success. Not the parents, the administration, or the drinking water. The team teaches English language learners and reports that their success comes from evaluating test scores regularly, adapting our teaching to each student's needs, and not giving up until they get it right. They say, by meeting weekly, we have created a learning community of teachers that tackle problems and issues. Our team is flexible and pliable, stubborn and persistent. We accept ownership of the children and believe that all children can learn. Our goal is to create a safe classroom environment, give the students something that is meaningful, break the skill down into small steps so they can feel successful early, build on each preceding skill until they reach the expected goal, practice, 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 be open to ideas and have conversations. Most importantly, we never give up. When she was a new teacher, Julie Cunetada joined the L.C. Kennedy staff, and the other members of the team brought her up to speed quickly by reviewing yearly objectives and discussing how to reach goals. The school did not assign her a mentor. Everyone in the team, available at all times, was more than her mentor. They were her teammates. Julie Cunetada says, I was not thrown in, but lovingly accepted into the family. All the teams at the school meet weekly. They have grade-level learning teams that focus on improving student learning. The teams work together to create a consistent learning environment among the teachers and at grade level. These grade-level teams do not function in isolation. They communicate with the teams at other grade levels. At L.C. Kennedy School, the students are assisted by the school and its learning teams, not just one teacher locked in isolation in the classroom. It's the team approach to learning that helps them beat the odds. The structure of a learning team. Pacific Elementary School in Sacramento, California, had an influx of 80 Hmong children in 2003. The Hmong are Laotians, many of whom were recruited by the U.S. government to fight in the Vietnam War in the 1960s. Because of fear of retaliation, they were offered asylum in the United States, with two of the largest settlements found in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Sacramento, California. Today, 40% of the student body at Pacific Elementary School is Hmong. Yet the teachers and the administration handle the increasing enrollment. How? The school has a culture that is always focused on student achievement. There are learning teams by grade levels at Pacific Elementary School. They meet once a week and enjoy the convenience of meeting in one large room where there is interaction during at-grade level meetings, as well as communication among teachers across various grade levels. There is a formal structure or a procedure used at the Pacific Elementary School's team meetings. They use the Schmoker model the first half of the meeting, and the procedure is as follows. 1. Focus, 3 to 5 minutes. Identify the specific learning objective and the assessment that will be used to determine success of the lesson. Write one learning objective, standard, that clearly states the purpose of the lesson. Display the objectives, standards, for all team members to see. Ensure the team has a common understanding regarding the assessment. 2. Assessment. Create the assessment aligned with the standard learning objective. 3. Quiet write, 1 minute. Quietly and privately brainstorm on paper elements, steps, or strategies that might go into an effective lesson, a lesson that would help the greatest number of students succeed on the assessment. 4. Brainstorm, 4 to 7 minutes. As a team, use good brainstorming protocol. No negative comments, any and all ideas are acceptable, piggyback on others' thoughts, to capture 12 to 14 ideas for all to see. 5. Selection, 3 to 6 minutes. As a team, select the best strategies, steps, and elements that combine most effectively to promote student success on the assessment. 6. Outline lesson, 4 to 10 minutes. As a team, use the best ideas selected in the previous step to build an outline of the lesson. Collect related ideas, sequence them, and add or rearrange ideas as necessary. Outline the lesson for all to see. 7. Implementation. Back in the classroom. Teach the lesson. Assess the results. 8. Next meeting. Discuss the results of teaching, how many students succeeded, along with the strengths and weaknesses of the lesson or assessment. Discuss adjustments to instruction relative to each area of strength or weakness. All of the information exchanged at the team meeting is recorded in a team learning log. The second half of the meeting time is spent discussing student work. The teachers spread papers, tests, projects, or reports out on a table and analyze the performance of each student. Then they share with each other what they are teaching and how they are teaching it, and how they can help each other to improve the instruction so they can better reach the students. In a learning team, the teachers have the capacity to work together to enhance student learning. The school is successful despite having a high minority student body that is rather impoverished. In the 2006-2007 school year, the school only had to hire 2 teachers. This is a very positive sign because comparable schools have significantly higher teacher turnover rates. New teacher Kiu Wen says, "I love teaching here because I am not isolated on my own. It's amazing how much I have learned from the experienced teachers. We, as teachers, are better when we collaborate with each other." GOBE. District-wide collaboration. Islip Public Schools' new teachers work in collegial teams. Their Regents diploma rate is at an all-time high of 98.3%. Read about the school's process in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 24 at effectiveteaching.com. The Honda Story. Honda manufactures cars at its factory in Marysville, Ohio. The company employs more than 13,000 associates, not workers. The associates work in groups. One procedure is for each group to submit complaints and suggestions to management at the end of each shift. In the United States, management generally does not want to hear about problems, and workers do not want to get involved with problems. The Honda procedure requires answers to three questions. 1. What is the problem? 2. What did you do about the problem? 3. What is your suggestion for a long-term solution of the problem? Honda works on quality through empowering workers within groups to solve problems and to search for improvement methods so the entire group can achieve excellence. Analyze the instruction, not the teacher. In 1993, a group of 23 doctors in Maine and New Hampshire made an agreement to observe each other's operating room procedures and share insights. In the 2 years after their 9 months of observation and sharing, they reduced the death rate among their patients by an astonishing 25%. For teachers who have traditionally worked as isolated professionals, the analogy holds a powerful message. If their goal is to lower the failure rate of students, teachers can succeed with young minds by working together. Effective learning teams bring to the table their respective students' writing assignments, math problems, science projects, artworks, and whatever else kids are producing every day. The teachers also bring their own lesson plans to share and try them out on their colleagues. It's scary work. But with ground rules in place, as with brainstorming where everything is acceptable, increasing student learning is the focus of the meetings. The focus of team meetings is the work on the table, and not on the particular student or teacher who produced it. Assessment in a learning team. Analyze the instruction, not the teacher or the student. The principals and teachers in successful schools embrace regular assessment as a way of identifying problems early and attacking problems immediately. They review the assessment data on a regular basis to identify problems as they arise. Doing root cause analysis, they work backward through the data to pinpoint deficiencies, and they take steps to immediately correct defects in the instruction. The deficiency is usually found in the input, the curriculum, the instruction, the amount of time spent on the objective, and not on the output, that is, the students. The teachers, who are the experts in the business, must be strong and professional enough to analyze their own instruction and have others analyze it. With input, they must be open to making revisions in their instructional delivery in order to reach every single student. Teachers who work in groups must recognize that the problem is not a personal attack on the teacher. It's a process of identifying deficient instructional methods of the teacher. Curriculum maps inform a team. The exchange of curriculum lessons in successful schools is done with the use of curriculum maps. It is done vertically and horizontally. A curriculum map is a grand spreadsheet that lists what everyone has, is, and will be teaching. The map is dynamic in that it is constantly changing to reflect what needs to be taught to improve student progress toward learning. Flight controllers at airports can see all the airplanes mapped in their regional sky on their monitors. Train schedules list the arrivals and departures for all the trains on a particular line. In a travel group, everyone is given an itinerary, a listing of their stops. Likewise, effective schools have something similar to a map, schedule, or itinerary that keeps track of what's being taught and who is teaching it, so that no student misses the learning train. Curriculum Mapper, registered trademark. James Westrick served as a Peace Corps volunteer in a village in Kenya. He was the only science teacher at a tiny secondary school set in the middle of the African bush. He had no laboratory, no textbooks, and no formal curriculum for his biology, chemistry, and physics classes. What he did have in abundance, however, was time. He began the process of determining what knowledge and skills he wanted his students to acquire at various points of the year. With that in place, he looked at what content, knowledge, and activities would best be used for his students to acquire the skills. This constituted the crude beginnings of his personal curriculum map. Upon returning to the United States, Jim became one of seven chemistry teachers at a large public high school outside of Chicago. He had all the resources and textbooks he needed. He even had a laboratory. But he had no idea what his students knew or had been exposed to in other science classes. He found himself frequently stepping on the toes of other science teachers by duplicating labs or worksheets. Consequently, he missed many interdisciplinary opportunities. Although he was surrounded by teachers and resources, he felt more isolated professionally than he did in Kenya. Early in 1999, Jim attended a workshop on curriculum mapping led by Heidi Hayes Jacobs. The idea of mapping what actually happens in the classroom to share with other teachers made perfect sense to Jim, because he had used the technique in Kenya to keep track of what his students were learning, even though he was the only one teaching it. Curriculum Mapper was born out of Jim's frustration with teaching in a cave. He wanted to build on what his students already knew, not just reteach the same content. He wanted to know what other teachers were actually doing in the school so he could support them and make his students' experiences more meaningful. He designed Curriculum Mapper while he was still teaching. As more schools began using the system, he realized that most schools share common problems and that getting teachers out of their caves is the first step in building an interconnected curriculum anywhere. As the demand increased, he devoted more and more time to what began as a personal need to help his students in Kenya. Currently, Curriculum Mapper is used by schools in 48 states and Canada. Jim is now helping schools and districts implement their mapping initiatives and improve teacher communication and collaboration. Information on Jim's Curriculum Mapper registered trademark can be found at www.clihome.com. Tools that enhance student learning. As you meet in learning teams, it is important to focus on and share some basic techniques that students should know to increase their chance for success in the classroom and in life. Some of these techniques include taking diligent notes, reading textbooks for understanding, organizing homework assignments, and keeping track of daily lessons. Some of these concepts may seem like common sense, but the adage, "The problem with common sense is it's not so common," certainly applies. The skills we are about to share will help students achieve. Teach these skills and review them with your classes throughout the year. 1. How to take notes. 2. How to read a textbook. 3. Homework as an extension of classwork. Granted, no teacher should lecture too much, but that's not the issue. Effective people have learned the skill of taking notes. That is why they are effective. Note-taking is not used only in a classroom. People take notes watching television, during a telephone call, listening to a conference speaker, synthesizing something that is being read, and during an endless array of situations where they want to recall information. Notes are personal. It's what someone wants for personal edification. Teach a note-taking procedure, and you teach a student something useful in life, especially if that individual values collecting ideas to be turned into the next great novel or invention. Note-taking is the embodiment of one of life's greatest skills, listening. How to take notes. The most commonly used note-taking technique is the Cornell note-taking method invented by Walter Paulk while at Cornell University. Note-taking is not complicated. In the simplest of forms, it is a piece of paper divided into three sections. The three sections are called record, reduce, and review. The internet even has a site where you can draw your own Cornell page, download it, and duplicate it for your students. The benefit of the Cornell note-taking method is that the notes do not have to be rewritten. They can be reviewed instantly. The notes are reminders of the details of the lesson and are used for review and studying prior to tests or class discussions. The Cornell note-taking method. 1. Record. Record the notes in this space. Teach the students to use abbreviations and to write in phrases. Leave spaces between thoughts. Neatness is not important. Organization is important. 2. Reduce. In the left column, write simple phrases, cue words, and key points based on the notes taken. Encourage brevity and simplicity. 3. Review. At the bottom, write one sentence or phrase that summarizes the notes on the page. Add any questions that remain or write ideas for further research. How to read a textbook. Effective readers do not necessarily start at the beginning of a book, magazine, or newspaper. Newspaper and magazine publishers know this, which is why parts of the table of contents are put on the cover as teasers to grab your attention. They know that effective readers skim, scan, and skip from one page to another. This method for reading a textbook is called SQ3R. Survey, question, read, recite, and review. Teach students how to read a textbook. Survey. Read the summary of the chapter first and find out if they all live happily ever after. Read any indication of a key idea or concept. Read all bold print sentences. Read words or phrases in caps, italicized, highlighted, or in boxes. Look at the pictures and read the captions. Read all the section headings to understand the organization of the material. Question. Ask what this chapter is about. Ask what the subsections are about. The better the student has a sense of what questions to ask, the better the student will understand the primary message the chapter or subsection conveys. Read. Read each section with the questions in mind. Recite. Orally, answer the questions asked. Review. Reflect on the questions or the key idea to check for understanding. Go B. Keeping track of assignments. Carol Brooks of South Carolina has developed a daily method to help students keep track of their assignments. Read about it in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 24 at effectiveteaching.com. Have you ever been in line at a buffet restaurant with no clue as to what is being served? Ask the people in front of you. They have no idea either. Wouldn't you like to know what's being served so you can ration the space on your plate? Get out of line and go up to the cashier and ask if you can do an SQ3R of the buffet before you are seated. They gladly allow you to do it. Survey the layout of the buffet. Is there more than one table? Is there a section for hot foods? Is there a carver slicing meats? Where is the dessert table? Question what is under the lids of the chafing dishes. Look at the sauces. Are they cream-based? Are there any low-sodium, heart-healthy foods available? Read the labels on all the food items. Recite to yourself all of the wonderful choices you selected as a result of examining the spread. Review the promises you made to yourself about not overeating. Then get in line, ready to dine responsibly at the all-you-can-eat buffet. Homework as an extension of classwork. Homework must fit the lesson objective and the assessment. If not, it's busy work and has no value as homework. Any homework given must be part of the lesson objective, and it must help when the learning is assessed. Again, if not, it is inappropriate homework. Understanding this concept, Elmo Sanchez in Miami calls his homework home learning. He assigns only what reviews and reinforces concepts the students have learned in class. Homework is not for new learning. This will frustrate many students and even the parents who are being called upon to teach what has not been taught in the classroom. Just as effective teachers use guided practice followed by independent practice, homework or home learning should be additional practice to reinforce what was learned in the classroom. If a student takes skating or music lessons, the teacher sends the student home to practice the lesson, not to create something new. The key word is practice. Ask these questions. What have the students learned in the class? What can the students do to practice this new knowledge? This becomes the homework for the day. In many primary classes, students get a take-home folder with all their work for home learning. Practice doing homework in the classroom. Spend time during the first 2 weeks in class teaching the students how to do the homework before sending them home with the assignments. A variation is to have the students start the homework in class and then finish up at home. Learning teams have a shared vision. A successful journey begins with a clear picture of the destination. If you do not know where you are going, then how will you know if you get there? The journey to improving student achievement is no different. Everyone involved, administrators, teachers, students, and parents, needs to develop a laser focus on improving student learning. They need to create goals and a map that will lead them there together. This concept is known as a shared vision. In a shared vision, the leadership is shared among the teachers. The shared focus is on student learning. There is staff collaboration around learning goals, and this is done with a shared decision-making process. In a school with a shared vision, the leader works on getting everyone to work together. People are connected to, rather than separated from, each other. To implement this shared vision, every learning team consistently asks these questions of each lesson. What are the students to learn? Chapter 21. How will we teach what we want students to learn? Chapter 21. What will the students need to prepare for learning? Chapter 22. What will we assess and adjust for student learning? Chapter 23. Teacher learning teams must meet regularly to see evidence of the following. 1. Are we teaching to agreed-upon standards? 2. Is progress being made toward improvement of achievement goals? Ineffective schools have no teacher learning teams and nothing is shared. There is curricular chaos, whereby isolated teachers teach wildly divergent topics in the same grade level at the same school. No one knows and no one cares what else is being covered. Assessment is for a grade and not for student learning. In an effective school, the curriculum is constructed for student learning. The learning teams consistently assess themselves to see if they maintain and nurture a common, shared focus on student learning. They create and use a map to allow the learning teams to coordinate and assess instruction together. They consistently ask themselves if students need to be taught or retaught the academic content or procedures needed to succeed. Common sense says, and research supports, that the less time teachers must spend managing classroom conflict, the more time they can spend on instruction. This improves students' academic outcomes. The importance of establishing procedures and routines to free up instructional time is paramount to effective teaching. The hallmark of effective schools. These are the characteristics that are well documented about effective schools, effective teaching, and improved student learning. The era of isolated teaching is over. Good teaching thrives in a supportive learning environment created by teachers and school leaders working together to improve learning in strong professional learning teams. Teachers thrive when they feel connected to their schools and colleagues. Teachers need and want to belong. If they do not belong in a positive way, they will belong in a negative way. The trademark of effective schools is a sense of community, continuity, and coherence. Effective schools have a high-performance culture, the hallmark of which is a shared responsibility for learning among all students. Schools with these characteristics can produce the largest achievement gains in student learning ever reported for educational interventions. This can only happen in schools where teachers work together, assess together, and learn together, all for the goal of improving student achievement. When we wish upon a school. The core of student success is having a staff of teachers sharing a vision. A vision is like a star that gives direction to one's efforts. It aligns everyone toward a common purpose. It forms the basis of a commitment to instructional goals, beliefs, and priorities. Without this shared vision, people have no purpose in teaching. This may not come as a shock to you, but studies have shown repeatedly that most decisions made in education are not made for the students. They are made for adults and their agendas. There is only one vision in education: progress in student learning. Never lose sight of that fact. Travelers never lose sight of where they are going when they use a map or even a GPS, global positioning system, for navigation. Every decision we consider must be made with the direction pointing towards student learning. Sometimes we think of schools as being autonomous rooms with a parking lot for faculty and sometimes one for students as well. For student learning to take place consistently, however, each classroom must be connected with hallways and fully accessible through open doors. When classrooms are intertwined, everyone has to be following the same shared vision. Hold up a compass, a map, a GPS at each team meeting and consistently ask, "What is our shared vision? Are we following our star?" The effective teacher, 1, implements and is part of a learning team. 2, analyzes student work and instruction as part of a team. 3, contributes to and helps maintain a shared vision. 4, never gives up. Unit E, Future Understandings, The Professional. The teacher who constantly learns and grows becomes a professional educator. 25. How to be a teacher leader. The key idea: the more a teacher learns, the more the students will learn. Teaching. Teaching is the hardest thing you will ever love. Heidi Albin, teacher, Hayward, California. The professional educator is a teacher leader. You make a statement of dignity to yourself and the teaching profession when you acknowledge and accept that you make a difference. You have now come to the final unit in the book. The focus of units A through D has been on student accomplishment. The focus of unit E is on you, the teacher, as a student of learning. You will soon discover that the more a teacher learns, the more each student will learn. In other words, the more knowledgeable you become in the craft of teaching, the more you increase the chances that your students will be successful. We teach you to plan so you can plan to teach. The biggest secret to teaching success. If you want to become a professional educator with a successful future, if you want to be happy and recognized as a person who makes a difference in the lives of others, begin by making an impact on your own life. Here's the biggest secret to teaching success. Beg, borrow, and steal. We talked about this in Chapter 3. A rock pile ceases to be a rock pile the moment a single man contemplates it, bearing within him the image of a cathedral. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Northern California teacher Chris Halverson recently had a change in assignments. She embraced that shuffle with a positive attitude by saying, "I love being on a new learning curve." Educator Susie Drazen of New York says, "My professors in graduate school suggested that we become eclectic teachers, watching all and only stealing from the best. Whenever Rosemary Wong goes to a meeting, no matter how seemingly boring or irrelevant the material is, she starts assessing the potential benefits. Before the person is even finished explaining his or her technique, I've already figured out how to do it differently or better in my classroom. The human mind is a magnificent personal computer. In fact, it is the original PC. The effective teacher is always thinking, dreaming, and planning. Your future happiness and career success depend on your ability to implement techniques and your capacity to grow with new ideas. If you do not grow, you will have nothing to give, for a teacher cannot give what he or she is not. If you do not take responsibility for yourself, no one else will. It's that simple. When you acknowledge and accept that you make a difference, only then will the dignity of the profession be elevated. Teachers who are still in survival mode. The profession is a mixed bag of personalities, cultures, and ideologies. Nevertheless, they can all be sorted into two categories. There are those who simply want a job to earn money to live on. They work to live and survive from day to day. There are those who want to make a difference. They live to work because the work they do brings accomplishment to themselves and their students. Unfortunately, there are teachers who say, "But I can't use your techniques because I teach high school. My students are not reading up to grade level. The buses all arrive at different times, so I can't start the lessons on time." Or, "You don't understand the culture my students come from." These teachers survive by making excuses. The surest path to stagnation is to do nothing or just get by. When you have a school culture in which many of the teachers do not want to learn, it is obvious the students are not going to learn either. On the flip side, there are teachers who have now reached mastery. These are teachers we identify as professionals and teacher leaders. Reaching mastery. We expect the plumber, dentist, and lawyer to know what they are doing. We call them professionals. In the same manner, effective teachers are called professional educators. A professional is defined not by the business a person is in, but by the way that person conducts his or her business. A professional educator is someone who, without prompting, supervision, or regulation, has an ongoing growth plan to achieve competence and strives continuously to raise the level of each new group of students. The effective teacher thinks, reflects, and implements. The effective teacher models what is expected from the students, the ability to think and solve problems on their own. Effective teachers use their cumulative knowledge to solve problems. The accumulation of knowledge requires perpetual, consistent learning. The professional educator is always learning and growing. The professional educator is on an endless journey to succeed with students by looking for new and better ideas, new information, and improved skills. What counts is not the number of hours you put in, but how much you put into those hours. Some people go through life adding years to their life. Others go through life adding life to their years. Teachers who become teacher leaders. The effective teacher also has a personal life plan to guide that individual's career with the goal of becoming a teacher leader. These teachers are easy to identify. Teacher leaders are optimists. They see daily what they are accomplishing in life and see clearly the bright future that awaits them. The term teacher leader is a relatively new concept. For decades, many educators considered themselves just teachers. They did their jobs, typically in isolation, and if they wanted more money or recognition, they depended on trade unions to get it for them. As each generation of teachers became more effective, and as they demonstrated greater mastery in improving student learning, It occurred to many of these teachers that they should make a choice to determine or empower their own lives too. They chose to step out of the constraints of being just teachers and onto the path of becoming leaders. These teachers recognized that leaders are not bosses who implement rules, regulations, and procedures. Leaders are not merely given the authority to tell others what to do. Real leaders possess certain qualities that are necessary to achieve group successes. A leader is succinctly defined as someone who motivates, mediates, and mentors. Go Be. Teacher Leaders Network. Become a part of an ever-expanding cohort of teacher leaders. Learn about this professional growth opportunity in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 25 at effectiveteaching.com. 10 Qualities of Effective Leaders. 1. A leader has a vision for achievement. 2. A leader sets a good example. 3. A leader has the interpersonal skills necessary to guide a team of colleagues. 4. A leader motivates and inspires others toward mutual goals. 5. A leader remains focused on goals. 6. A leader implements deadlines and achieves milestones. 7. A leader mediates conflicts between individuals and among divided groups. 8. A leader recognizes the importance of proper knowledge and skills and facilitates training. 9. A leader shares information and mentors younger and less experienced team members. 10. A leader is well prepared, passionate, and persevering. In the broadest terms, leadership yields improvement. As it relates to education, teacher improvement leads to student improvement. Without teacher leaders, there can be no student improvement. Thus, it is from teacher leaders that we ultimately get student achievement. Think about these two statements. Ineffective teachers are all the same. Effective teachers are all unique. If you have an aha moment after listening to these statements, you are well on your way to becoming a teacher leader. Perhaps you're already there? If you are scratching your head in wonder, you are still growing and learning. Give yourself time while you continue to study and discover the traits of teacher leaders. Teacher leaders. Teacher leaders recognize they are forerunners in their profession, working beyond their classrooms by making presentations, writing for journals, supporting new teachers, and sharing with administrators. They elevate the teacher voice, breaking down the walls of isolation that so profoundly limit the work of schools. Simply stated, teacher leaders take action, accepting responsibility for driving positive change in education. William Ferriter, 6th grade teacher, North Carolina, Teacher Leaders Network. All successful teachers are leaders, not workers. You can predict your life as a teacher 5, 10, 20, even 30 years from now on the basis of these characteristics. Teacher workers, managed by crisis, are full of excuses, dress like laborers, sit at the back of the room in meetings, complain about professional development, complain about people, places, and things, blame other people, places, and things, are frequently late, run their mouths constantly, are always asking, "What am I supposed to do?" Do not subscribe to or read professional journals. Do not belong to professional organizations. Seldom, if ever, go to conferences and even complain about district-sponsored meetings. Speak negatively of their obligations, as in, "Do I have to serve?" and "I'm only doing this because I've got to." Are I-centered. Talk about not getting respect. Decide to do what others do. Worry about their jobs and their job conditions. Are victims. Are unwilling to learn or turn elsewhere for help. View life as, Another day, another dollar. Are survivors. Teacher leaders, managed by leadership, have plans, goals, and vision. Dress for success. Sit where they can learn. Enjoy being part of a meeting. Compliment people, places, and things. Collaborate with people and improve places and things. Are prompt and have their materials ready. Pay attention. Are able to make decisions and help solve problems. Subscribe to and read the professional literature. Belong to professional organizations. Attend conferences and may even contribute professionally at conferences. Speak enthusiastically about their options, as in, I like being part of the professional learning team, and I enjoy working on the district's curriculum committee. Achieve success that earns them respect. Choose to do what they know is best. Have a career and have options from which to choose. Have power and are in control. Are knowledgeable and can turn elsewhere for help. Believe life is, you strive to be a peak performer and pursue life, love, and happiness. Do not follow where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Robert Frost. Teaching is used by many teachers as a way to earn money to pay the bills and support a family. Their commitment to teaching stops at the dismissal bell, with no time and little desire to partake in growth and learning opportunities. Like workers, leaders have jobs and put in time to earn money, but leaders are willing to put in additional time to improve themselves, the people they work with, and the environment in which they work. As a result, leaders usually make more money. They make more money not because they put in more time on the job, but because they put in more time to improve their skills and enhance their lives. Life rewards the competent, not the clock watchers. A job is something a person does to earn a living. A career is something a person does as a lifetime pursuit. Teacher leaders are professionals. They are not concerned with time and money. They have their minds set on growing and collaborating with others. Job titles do not reflect worker or leader status. A teacher wrote, "New teachers are not the only beneficiaries of induction programs. The involvement of the Education Association with the administration has a positive impact on students, colleagues, and administrators. We model teamwork as a way of achieving mutually desired goals." Mary Ecker, Executive Board, Port Huron Education Association, Michigan. An executive said, "The in-service went 5 minutes over. You owe me 5 minutes." President, Local Education Association, New Jersey. Go be. Are you a worker or a leader? Workers let other people make their decisions. Leaders make the choices themselves. To understand this concept, go to the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 25 at effectiveteaching.com. Teacher leaders are proactive. During the course of this book, we've shared the techniques of effective teachers. We've also written about the successful implementation of the first days of school in our monthly internet column at teachers.net. In all our writings, there are two recurrent themes that exemplify effective teachers. Effective teachers can implement. Effective teachers have the ability to implement someone else's work, regardless of their grade level, subject matter, or even professional field. They are able to steal the work, change it to fit their own situation, and use it in their classrooms. They observe, reflect, invent, and apply. Effective teachers are proactive. Effective teachers have learned how to prevent problems rather than reacting to problems. They are proactive and not reactive. Ineffective teachers are reactive. Reactive teachers do not have organized plans for their classrooms, yet they react by blaming the school or neighborhood environment for for their ineffectiveness. Reactive teachers have little or no control of their classrooms. Because they are typically disciplinarians, they insist on specific punishments or consequences for certain students. Very often, however, these students are among the brightest and most apt to become bored in unorganized classrooms. Recognizing, if only intuitively, that they have a reactive teacher, these students learn to manipulate their teachers by engaging them in games that make these students the center of attention. The result is that these students actually control the classroom, not the teacher who is constantly reacting to unacceptable behavior by doling out punishments to disruptive students. In short, reactive teachers are not leaders. They are workers, and their students recognize them as such. Proactive teachers have a classroom management plan that prevents problems from occurring. They have lessons guided by standards and objectives, and they have positive expectations for student learning. Effective teachers have it all put together. Teaching is a craft. It requires dedication and commitment. It requires working with others in learning teams. It requires continual self-improvement. Although some people possess natural teaching abilities, no one is born with the prerequisite knowledge and expertise of a teacher leader. First, you need to understand that your classroom must be managed. Just as running a successful store requires good management skills, teaching a successful class requires thorough preparation. There are no simple magic bullets for student learning. You have to work at it. You have to be willing to learn if you expect your students to listen. The most effective teachers become professional educators. Professional educators become teacher leaders. You must become an advocate of what you believe. Otherwise, you will become a victim of what others want you to believe. Jesse Jackson. The most vulnerable teachers. The most vulnerable people on the staff are the survivors who cannot make a choice to plan their lives. They know they should be enhancing their own lives and the lives of the students they teach. They know they should work cooperatively with the people on staff who are there to help them. Think about your favorite store. Why is it successful? It's because of three factors. One, the place is well managed. It's organized and comfortable. You find it a pleasant experience to shop there. Two, the merchandise is good. There is a good selection of merchandise, it's of good quality, and the price entails a good value. Three, the customers are well treated. People are polite to you. You are treated with courtesy, respect, and dignity. Salespeople appreciate your business and have built a relationship with you. You can name these stores. They come in different sizes, sell different merchandise, and can be found in different locations. But they all have the same three characteristics that drive their success. They have all the pieces put together for profitable success. Picture the successful classroom. It is no different. It's because of three factors. One, the classroom is well managed. Students find the classroom organized, safe, and pleasant. This is Unit C on classroom management. Two, the lessons are well delivered. Students learn, have a good experience, and enjoy being part of the classroom. This is Unit D on lesson mastery. Three, the students are well treated. They are respected. They receive additional help if they need it. They are treated with love and significance. This is Unit B on positive expectations. You've seen or can picture these classrooms. They come in different sizes, have a diversity of students, and can be found in different locations. But they all have the same three characteristics that drive their success. Their students learn because their teachers have it all put together for student accomplishment. But at the faculty meetings and in the staff room, the toxic people shout about the neighborhood culture, the pay, the conditions, the parents, the administrators, and the students. They're very clients. They do not even like what other people say or believe. Remember, toxic people need to blame others to protect themselves. If you listen to enough people who vilify administrators, parents, and students, you will believe that administrators, parents, and students are the cause of your being a victim. When you see in a given situation what everyone else sees, you become so much a part of the situation that you become a victim of the situation. Successful teachers learn to listen, learn, and lead. Learn to choose to make a choice. If opportunity doesn't knock, then build a door. Milton Berle. The surest path to success. Teacher leaders practice enhancement behaviors. They spend much of their time participating, learning, and growing to enhance their lives as well as the lives of those with whom they interact. The surest path to success is with an attitude of enhancement and cooperation. They enjoy learning and participating, so they go to conferences, conventions, and meetings. They exemplify the essence of a learning community at a school and can interact with, share with, and listen with other people. People who use enhancement behaviors are we people. You keep hearing them use the word we, as in, we need to work in our learning teams to find a solution to reduce the dropout rate. Do we have some people who can staff the call center for our Pledge Night campaign? Or, we can do it. I know we can do it. So let's all work on analyzing the students' work to see how we can improve student learning. We people have student success foremost on their minds. They are restless to improve, constantly adding to their knowledge and repertoire of skills. Their attitudes and abilities are their strengths. They do not dwell on problems by whining about people, places, and things because they have discovered that life is fuller when chasing a future challenge rather than bemoaning the past. It takes work and effort to be a professional. It takes time to go to conferences, read journals, serve on committees, and interact with associates. It requires effort to be part of a learning team, give extra help to students who need it, and take classes to improve personal skills and understanding. But the rewards and the satisfaction go to those professionals who are willing to invest in themselves for the benefit of others. These are choices they freely make to enhance their own lives. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up and look for circumstances they want, and if they can't find them, they make them. George Bernard Shaw. Successful people choose. Now that you know the difference between a teacher worker and a teacher leader, which will you be? Will you decide to be a worker? Or will you choose to be a leader? Decide. Look at the two parts of the word decide. The prefix D means off or away, as in defeat, destroy, denigrate, and de-emphasize. It is a negative prefix. The stem side means cut or kill, as in suicide, pesticide, insecticide, and herbicide. To decide is thus to cut away or kill off. Not a very happy activity. Many people make decisions by deciding. Have you ever dined with someone at a restaurant who cannot select what to order from a menu? While everyone at the table waits for this person to place an order, someone impatiently barks out, "How long does it take you to decide? When will you decide? Can't you decide?" And does the person order? No. Instead, the person asks the others at the table what they plan to order, and then decides to do the same. "Oh, you're going to have a turkey sandwich? I'll have the same. No mayonnaise? Oh, okay, make mine the same way. I'll have the same thing." The meal becomes an act of cloning. And what happens to people who decide in this way? Deciders become victims because they allow other people to make decisions for them. Choose. Leaders do not decide. Leaders choose. Leaders have control over their own lives. They know that the good things in life come